This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Looking to improve your diet in the new year? Try seeing a personal dietitian with Nourish. Nourish has hundreds of dietitians who specialize in a variety of health concerns, including weight loss, gut health, and more. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your personal dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Swinging a high drive into center field, hits at the wall, it is gone! Passes does it again!
Again!
It's gone! It's into the bullpen! This game is tied! This game is tied!
He swings and rips one to center field. It's high, it's deep, it's back, it's gone! Sale winds, he fires. Swing and a miss, frankly, it's over! The Red Sox have won the World Championship!
Welcome back to Play Tessie. It's episode 179. This is the official Red Sox podcast of WEI. Remember, wherever you get your podcasts, hit that subscribe button, rate 5 stars, leave a comment. Find us on YouTube. We're on the WEI channel. Got the Play Tessie playlist there. Hit the thumbs up on the videos and subscribe to WEI. And find us on the socials at Play Tessie on both Twitter and Instagram. Sammy's here. Pat's here. It's Gordo here with you guys. Vibes have been... super high vibes just since the Alex Bregman signing, super high vibes. And we were talking about it before. Actually, no, maybe it was Pat. We were talking about it. I don't know. We're talking about it with someone before one of you guys got on or when one of you guys was missing. And this is the longest we've gone without a pod since the very end of the season. We took like a 2-week break out after the season. And like outside of that, pretty much since we started the show, probably the longest we've gone without a podcast. And so like appreciate everyone who has been, you know, missing us over the last however many days. We dropped one on Thursday. This one's dropping on Tuesday. Just kind of how it worked, because the Bregman signing happened on a night where it's like, okay, our third podcast is going to drop on a Thursday for the week, so we won't do a Friday. And then there was the holiday on Monday, so it's like we won't drop till Tuesday. So it's just kind of how it worked out, but good to be back.
Feels good, and it is a fantastic day to have a Red Sox-centered podcast, which is what we're doing here. Lots to discuss, which is nice. That's two in a row where we've had a ton to discuss. We're not kind of scraping the bottom of the barrel to keep everyone entertained. So looking forward to this one, boys.
Yeah. I mean, coincidentally, we get every spring training storyline we could have ever wanted over this 5-day stretch. So, we got some talking to do.
Yeah, let's just get right into it, because this Devers, we could talk Dylan Cease stuff too. If we want to talk Sam Kennedy, we can, but I don't know. He said there's more room to spend midseason. Kind of is what it is. Self-explanatory. They could add if they want to. Maybe they will, maybe they won't. It's not like they're stretched by a deadline. But the Devers thing, in my opinion, is the most interesting thing. It certainly got the most play on Twitter, naturally. Like, I was literally about to go to like the furniture store today to shop for like a couch and a mattress. And I told my wife, like, oh, just Devers is about to speak. Just I'll listen to this for 10 minutes and then we'll go. And I just had no idea that he was going to drop the sort of nuke on Red Sox Nation that he did. I didn't think he necessarily like meant to do it like that. But basically, if you didn't hear what he had to say to the media. He sat on the bench, did his press availability. They asked him if the team has talked to him about moving off of third base. He said that they approached him on Friday about it, which is after the Bregman signing. He said he does not want to move off third base, asked like a million times, does not want to move off third base. Asked about DH, he says he doesn't have interest in DHing. Asked about first base, says he doesn't have interest in playing first base. They asked if he would refuse. He said he would refuse. Then he was asked if he would potentially request a trade if the Red Sox said you're not going to play third base. And he didn't say no. He didn't say no. Like, he said he gave a long-worded answer, and all we have to go off of is the translation, said Boston's all he's known, but certainly did not say he would not request a trade if they didn't, if they moved him off third base. And the interesting thing here is they promised him at the time he signed that contract extension that he would play third base for years to come, for a long time. Alex Cora took the bench soon after Devers' press availability, and he kind of put it on Heim because he said, yeah, like, the people who made those decisions, yeah, Heim's in St. Louis now. So just like an all-around, I don't want to say disaster class on the bench today, because like the truth of the matter is we could get to opening day and there's a good chance that this is all smoothed out and ironed out by then and it's a nothing burger. But like for the time being right now, as we sit here, you know, drop day is February 18th. Like, this is a real story, and it's a legitimate concern, in my opinion, until it gets smoothed out. So we're going to have to see how it plays out. We're going to have to see what they want to do from here. But, yeah, Raffy is not – he's not happy that they seem to maybe want to move him off third base.
Yep, yeah, and kind of – we kind of all expected him to be upset with this when it inevitably came up. The thing that surprised me was how pointed he was and how stern his answers were. Not that he was upset, it was just the way they were conveyed. And we have to mention it was a translated interview, so you never know if stuff gets lost, but we're going to take everything as if it was, you know, perfectly translated. That's all we have to go off of. It is, and I have to be very careful with how I word this, because we all love Rafael Devers. I don't want anything I say to be conflated as if I don't love Rafael Devers. He's great. He's fun to root for. I couldn't be happier that he's here for the long haul. That said, it's pretty tough for me to stand up for him today. I didn't love the quotes. It's one thing to have pride in the position you play. I totally get that. That is not lost on me. He's been a third baseman his entire career, and he's probably been a great, you know, coming up through the minors and everything, he's probably been not that bad of a defender. Then he gets to the major league level and all of a sudden everyone's ahead of him, so he's playing catch up. The problem is he doesn't really have a leg to stand on here. If he were on a rookie deal and he were a guy that wanted to get paid, he has a chance to make life-changing money, I would understand a little bit more. He's already been paid, so check, that's one thing. Second, the defense. People have varying degrees of how bad they think the defense is. I think we can all agree that it's at least below average. I think it's pretty bad. Gordo, I know you don't think it's as bad as I think it is. And I think more people who are around the game agree with you on that. Statistically, he's towards the bottom of the barrel. So whatever school of thought you subscribe to, it's not good defense. Yes, he has made some slight improvements here and there, but everything is relative. Even with the improvements, he's still grading out 2024 eighth percentile OAA. Yes, he's not making as many errors, but as Lou said today on his walk the ice cream, he was like doing the walk the dog thing, but with ice cream in honor of Raffy. It's the improvements are, it's not the errors, it's the range, it's the balls he's not getting to. And statistically speaking, he has been over the 25th percentile outs above average one time since 2017, and more it looks to be an outlier. If you guys have read that book, Outliers, great book, one of the handful of books I've read in my life. So that's two things. And the third thing, you just acquired Alex Bregman. The guy's a gold glove third baseman, and I know he can play second base. I think that's awesome. Personally, I'm with you guys. I would put him at second base to start the season. I think you can fit more guys in that way. But whatever, if Alex Cora, the manager, the guy who's pulling the strings, if he says Alex Bregman, a gold glove third baseman, is going to play third base, and you, Rafael Devers, you're going to DH, that's what goes. He's the manager. You've been paid. You're being paid by the Red Sox to play baseball. That's how it goes. It's a job. And the last thing I'll bring up, and this is the sensitive subject, and people are going to get on me for this, but I'm sorry, I have to bring it up. He has, again, come into camp visibly not looking good, out of shape. And I know he puts in the work defensively, but you got to see him put in the work in the gym and looking fit when he shows up. Dan Shaughnessy today asked him, how much do you weigh? He said 240 pounds. That's more than Big Poppy weight. Big Poppy, who is 3 inches taller than Devers, would usually weigh in at 230. So I don't want to get on the guy for his weight too much, but it's hard not to acknowledge it. You got to come in. You're a professional athlete. You are with the Boston Red Sox, who could probably give you every single resource you could possibly need. I need to see him looking better in camp. I'm sorry. I hate to sound like that crazy caller who call and talk, man. He's fat. He's out of shape. It's hard not to notice. And no, we're not talking about Pablo Sandoval being 5'10", 265 pounds, whatever he was. It's not to that extent. I'll give him that. But it's still an issue. It's noticeable. So between those four things, the defense, the money, everything, the weight, all that, it's really, really hard for me to stand up for Devers in this case.
So, Pat, I want to get your take here, because Sammy, he has Devers as sort of in the wrong for pushing back on this, but Sammy brought up the weight thing, so I do want to touch up on that first. To me, if he produces, he produces. And he's come into camp many years before looking a little bit bigger than I think people would like him to, and time again, he's the best hitter on the team. And yeah, his defense is below average. Yes, last year he got hurt. The injuries, in my opinion, have not been a big issue for Devers, because he's always willing to play through things, and he plays well through those things. Last year was kind of the first time where it caught up with him. If it happens again this year, I think then you have there's a conversation to be had. But to me, like when Pablo Sandoval would come into camp overweight and then he would play awful and make a ton of money doing that. Yeah, like that's different. But like I truthfully, I don't care what Rafi looks like if he's going to produce. So until he doesn't produce, I don't think the weight is a big issue to me.
I'm with you. But I would agree more if he weren't constantly hurt and playing through things. And I know he can still play well when he's
like
hurt.
But a lot of that's like shoulder stuff. Like that's not going
to
be like a
generally
weight thing.
It's just generally harder to stay healthy when you're carrying extra weight. Like it's like that in every sport. And
it's been a problem
that,
in 1 year. The injuries have affected his play one time. That's what happened once.
Sure. I mean, he's doing it in 2021 too. I mean, he played fine in 2021 with the injured arm. But how do you know it could have been better if he weren't hurt? It's just like, I can't just say he plays well when he's hurt. Don't worry about it. You know, when the one time that I really wouldn't care about his weight one bit is if he were a DH. If he wants to be on the field and be moving laterally quickly back and forth, a third baseman, you got to have lightning fast reactions. And I know it's not like shortstop or second where you need the most incredible range ever. And we've seen Rafi play good defense before, but when you're coming in at 6'240", it's harder to do. And I hate talking about this. I hate how it sounds coming out of my mouth talking about this. But like we've said on Play Tessie before, I'm going to tell you how I feel. This is how I feel. Love it or hate it, I'm sorry. 6'240", it's not pretty.
Pat, when Rafi said what he said today, there's two schools of thought to look at it. There's the he's gotten paid, he should do what's best for the team. If the team thinks this is best, this is what he should do. And then there's the school of thought of I'm the star, or you want your star player wanting to be out there, wanting to play third base, wanting to fight for his position. I think there's a little bit of both going on here, because like the way I would look at it is I want him to fight for that spot. I want him to want to be out there. But if at the end of spring training, they say you're not the third baseman, I don't want him creating a stink about it. So like it remains to be seen where it's going to end up. So like there is a lot of this to be played out. But where does your head stand on the whole Rafi pushing back here on Monday the 17th?
I don't want to say expected. We all kind of, I think every single person would have said that he was going to be, you know, not thrilled moving off of third. So the idea of that today was not remotely surprising. Like Sammy said, the one thing that was surprising was how adamant he was. It wasn't even like, let's see where camp takes us. Let's see what Cora says. We'll let things play out. I'm open. I've made up my mind. He just flat out said no. Which was kind of crazy. And he was pretty vocal about his nose. Like it wasn't if this, wait for this, until this. It was just no. I think it's an I don't want to sound like condescending, but like it is kind of hypocritical. isn't it? Because the past 2 years, he's been begging and begging and begging the Red Sox to invest, make a better team, upgrade. Look at it in a vacuum. There was so many areas they needed to upgrade head into the offseason. Starting pitching, you got Garrett Crochet, you got Walker Buehler. Bullpen, you got Aroldis Chapman, you got Justin Wilson. Right-handed bat and infield defense. It just so happened to come in one guy. And if you look around the infield, sure, there was just a carousel of guys at second base. I would still say the weakest defensive spot in the infield was third base. And I don't think that's much of a conversation point.
Oh, I think it was second base. I think it was second base.
But it's weird. My point being now is that no matter what, if Bregman plays third or Bregman's at second, you have a guy who is going to be there every day. So you're not going to have this cast of misfits playing second base. If it's Campbell, if it's Bregman, if it's Grissom, whatever. So third base is very easily identifiably the biggest hole in terms of defense to upgrade. So when you do that, it's just like you finally upgrade. You spend the money. You get this great player. He's a better third baseman than you. I don't care what you say. Better baseball player? Sure, it's a conversation point because Rathi's bat is just miles better. But you're not being paid for your third base defense. So I get it. It's encouraging that he is dying on this hill. He wants to be out there. He wants to more or less be forced out of it. I get it. I appreciate it. I love that he wants to be out there. I would hate if he was just like, oh, I've been waiting at DH, you know? But it's like, you can't put up a fuss because they finally upgrade. He's better than you at your own position, and you are best suited for DH. And like Sammy said, I don't want to sound bad, 6'2", 240 does not profile as the most agile and defensively skilled third baseman on the planet. I'm sorry.
Pat, yeah. I want to touch on 2 points that you brought up at the beginning. The first you sort of talked about, you know, maybe it's a surprise that he was, because I agree with you. It was a surprise to hear him as adamant as he was. It just didn't feel like that was in his personality to push back publicly, at least that hard. I was surprised about that. But what I wasn't surprised about was that he was going to push back on this. We've been talking about this all offseason. There's a reason that his agent would tell anyone who would ask, who would listen, that no, Rafi takes pride in third base. This is his position. No one should be surprised that Devers doesn't want to move off of the position. This was to be expected. It was always going to be an issue. If they got Nolan Arenado, it was going to be an issue. They got Alex Bregman. To me, the obvious decision here would have been to put Bregman at second base. He would improve that position defensively immensely in a position last year where Emmanuel Valdez led the team in games played, and that position was, I believe...
Don't mention him.
He did post a very good picture on social lately.
Check it out. Way too cool. By the way, I wanted to jump in when Pat was talking real quick. The second base defense, I get it. I think Valdez, I believe, was -9 of those average. He really skewed that. But anyway, sorry, continue.
He did. But in terms of why Rafi is because Pat, you talked about he asked them to make additions, and now they make additions, and he seems to be upset with what those additions are doing to him. I get that mindset. If they got Nolan Arenado, I think I'd be a little bit more on your boat because then they could say, hey, this was the one guy that we could get that could improve the team, and I'm sorry, just happened to come at your position. But with Bregman, he could play a good second base. We know it. We've seen it. He played it before, not the big league level, but he's built like a second baseman. His defensive profile with his range and maybe his lesser arm strength, it profiles as a second baseman. If I'm Rafi, I'm saying, hey, he can play second base. Why you're getting Alex Bregman here? He can play second base. Why do I have to suffer here? Why like you're doing this basically it's in the name of a rookie who can play the outfield too? Because every time I post on Twitter about how I would play Alex Bregman at second base, I keep getting told that it's gonna block Christian Campbell. I know that they've been working Campbell a ton at second base this spring, but that's their decision. Christian Campbell can play left field. It could be Campbell in left, Duran at center, Abreu in right. And then when Roman makes his march to the majors, and yes, I do think he could use some additional time in AAA. And hey, maybe Campbell too could. But when that decision time comes, you make the decision then. Or maybe injuries take care of things as they almost always do. But I respect where Rafi's coming from because it just feels like it just feels unnecessary. It just does. And I want my guy to put up that fight. I do. I want him to want it. I'm glad that he's taken the stand. That's where I'm at here.
I want him to want it too. The problem with me, Alex Cora is the manager. You defer to the manager. He is in charge. And if he deems that the best route for the team to take is with Devers DHing and Bregman at third, that's how it goes. What I don't like, I don't want there ever to be a scenario where the Red Sox don't do what's best for the team because they're afraid that Rafi's feelings will be hurt. That's unacceptable. That is very different to me than wanting it, than wanting to play third base. And I get that. I think that's great. I think it's great he wants to play third base. That's not my issue. My contention is the way that he handled it. That could have been, this is a story that didn't have to be a story. He could have completely media jargoned this whole question line away. It wouldn't have been a story, but here we are. Now it's a story. What I will say, holy moly, Alex Cora, what an opportunity to earn your money. Make this story go away quickly. Imagine how many doubters he's going to win over. And there somehow are still a lot of people who don't like Alex Cora. You know, let me back up. I shouldn't say somehow. The team has not been good for a few years, so I get it. I'm a big Cora guy.
Not his fault. Not Cora's fault.
Sure, sure. Some people disagree. I agree with you, Gordo, but whatever. Point being, listen to what the manager says. Big money moment for Alex Cora. I know he's already been paid, but this is like, show people why you got paid. Talk to your guy. You basically raised this guy, Devers. You've been managing him for 99% of his career. They have a great relationship, according to everyone we've spoken to. I'm fairly confident this is not going to be a story a week from now. Really hope so. And I think that the beauty of Alex Bregman over Nolan Arenado, and Gordo, we talked about this when we were leaving the studio the other day. Cora has a billion options. He could play Bregman at second. He could play Bregman at third. He could DH Devers. He could put him at third. He could do what you just said with Christian Campbell, put him in left, put him at second. He probably can play third. I wouldn't shock me. A million different options. So I think everybody on the Red Sox needs to agree that people are going to be moving around the field. This is how Alex Cora manages the team. This is how modern baseball is played.
But Sammy, didn't you find it weird that they said that they weren't going to do that? They said they weren't like that. That's what one of the things that surprised me the most. They said they didn't want to move Bregman around. Cora was talking about, yeah, we want to be doing less of that. That surprised me because I felt like the big benefit to Bregman over Arenado was that it would allow you to be flexible. Like if you were just going to pitch and hold the guy at third base, to be honest with you, like, I don't know, man, like Arenado's deal versus Bregman's deal. And I know Bregman only got 3 years,
lesser but player.
Like, it's not by a ton though, man, in this ballpark.
I think it's by a lot. I think it's both
Nolan Arenado put the bat on the ball.
I know, but Nolan Arenado is like,
Bregman's a better player.
So many red flags. We would have coped so hard. It would have been a fine backup plan, but it's just, I think Bregman
would have been good.
It would have been fine. I think Bregman is just way better. But no, I mean, less moving around the field for the Red Sox is still more moving around the field than most teams. Like, it's all relative. Like, I get that. They want to do less of it. That doesn't mean they're not going to do a lot of it. I mean, Yoshida alone requires a lot of moving parts whenever he's ready to go. So
that's the whole thing that no one's talking about here is the, like, poor Masa Yoshida, like, listening to this whole thing, like, what?
What did I do? Not enough, Masa. That's what. But anyway, to put a bow on my Devers talk. I really don't want people to think I don't like Devers. I hate to talk about the weight thing, but I can't not bring it up. I'm glad he wants it. I'm glad he's passionate, but I hope at the end of the day, everyone's an adult. Do what's best for the Red Sox. You already got your money, man. That's done. $330 million and change. Like, come on. So I don't think this is a story a week from now.
Question for Pat, because I know Sammy's answer to this. Sammy, you talked about do what's best for the team. And I agree. Do what's best for the team. To me, though, we know that Rafi hits when Rafi's happy. When Rafi's hitting, he plays good defense. When he plays good defense, he's hitting. When he's happy, he's doing everything good. To me, what's best for the team is putting Devers in a position to be successful and happy. Like, he is who he is. He wants to do what he wants to do. Like, some of these things are just not controlled. Like, it's his natural instinct to want to play the field. And you can't just strip that from him. So to me, getting the best version of Rafael Devers And the happiest version of Rafael Devers is Rafi Devers at third. So I think what's best for the team is managing that personality, is keeping that guy happy. I know, Sammy, you're going to disagree with that. Pat, do you also disagree with that?
Yeah. Yeah, I do. And, like, I get it. Like, there's some guys who just need to be involved in every single pitch. And I get that. Like, being in the game defensively helps you be in the game offensively. I understand that. My big thing is, if you want it so badly, if you want to stay at third base so badly, your bat depends on it, your happiness with the team depends on it, why have you made minimal improvement over 7 years? And I guess some of that isn't necessarily his fault, but at the same time, you know, if I think it is, like, you give 7 years to a, he was what, 20 when he came up? Is that right? 20 when he came up?
He was 20. Yeah.
Yeah. So you're talking about a guy who was pre-prime and now into his prime, and there's been no substantial upgrades or improvements on the defensive side of the ball. So I would argue that playing third base and having good defense is not that important. And then I think the other part of it is, I don't think he realizes how sweet the DH life is. He strikes me as somebody who would fall into, like, the Yordan Alvarez category of, like, once he's brutal. Kind of in that, once he's kind of, like, in that swing of a DH, he's just going to be an absolute monster and not complain about it.
And still play the field here and there, too. It's not like he's, like he's Big Poppy where he's strictly a DH. I'm sure he'd still moonlight a third. Gordo, quickly, can't even talk. Quickly to respond to you. I get where you're coming from. I just can't, like, I can't agree with, like, you got to keep this guy happy. We got to keep our gold glove third baseman at a different position because our eighth percentile third baseman needs to be happy or else he won't hit. Like, dude, you've got to make sacrifices at some point, Rafi. Like, it's Major League Baseball. It's not like travel ball with high schoolers and this kid's emotional. We keep him happy. It's adults. These are adults. He's got to act like an adult. I don't think that's the case. I think he'll hit fine, whether he's happy at the start or not. Like, he'll settle in, like Pat just said. But Alex Cora cannot be making big choices like that based on keeping a guy happy. Like, it's just not. I can't vibe with that. I feel like such a boomer this episode.
I think the other thing too that I've been seeing is the correlation, or people trying to correlate, like Xander not moving off of shortstop for Trevor Story. That is so incredibly different because, again, Xander was not a great defensive shortstop. He never was. He was not incredibly below average. But then the other part of it is he was a year away from free agency. Shortstops get paid more than second baseman.
100%.
That guy, your veteran who's won two World Series with you, and has been the shortstop for, I guess, both, but more like the most recent one. You owe him that respect, because if you can't re-sign him, you're doing him a favor and ensuring that he gets the highest market value he can. Devers is here for 10 years. He's not getting another contract in baseball. So
probably
So I don't see the correlation there. Like, I get, you know, the leadership, the veteran stuff, but Xander was an average defensive shortstop and also a year removed from free agency. Rafi is
different.
Of those
I agree.
Things.
Yes, I agree, Pat. It is different in that.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 40% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale Last Chance right now and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That regard. But the other thing here that, you know, we're not necessarily talking about yet, and we probably should talk about is, A, what is best for the 2025 Red Sox? Like, what is the best alignment that they can have? And B, you also have to plan for the potential that, hey, Alex Bregman at Fenway Park, hey, what if he has a great year and he opts out? So Devers is your DH, and now Bregman, after a year, opts out, leaves in free agency. What, are you going to now... Devers has basically taken a year off defensively. You're going to throw him back out there at third? Or what? Does Marcelo Meyer become your third baseman? But what if Trevor Story? What if Trevor Story has a good year and opts out? Or what if Trevor Story is so bad that you don't want him to be your shortstop? Like, then Marcelo
Trevor Story opts out, I will eat my hat.
What about the other end of that, though, Sammy? Hold on. What about the other end of that? If he's so bad this year and now hasn't hit for now 3 straight years, that, hey, maybe you just don't want him out there and Marcelo should be your shortstop. So, I'm just saying, like, if Bregman leaves in a year, there's going to be a lot of scenarios where either you're bringing Devers back into the field or you have to sign, like, another stopgap shortstop third base type, because now Devers, who I agree already is a below-average defensive third baseman, if he takes a year off, like, that's it, man. Like, he's your DH for, what, is it 8 or 9 years left? That's that.
I think the other thing is, I think if Bregman opts out, him at third base is the best spot for him to opt out from. And I say that because you have, let's say hypothetically, okay, you have Devers at third, Story at short, and we'll say Campbell at second. Or sorry, Bregman at second. By default, Campbell goes in left field, whatever. If Bregman opts out, you can't really just move Campbell from a full rookie season in left field to second base. That's a little quirky. That's awkward. And then you do move Story to second, Marcelo to short, or if he opts out from third, Marcelo's playing second, short, and third this year. So Marcelo just slides right in. Campbell's your second baseman.
Who's your shortstop?
It's Trevor. It's Trevor.
So Trevor, you're basically living in the world where Trevor Story is not so good that he doesn't opt out.
But good enough where he wants Timberland boot if Trevor Story opts out of this
but
contract.
But what if he's so bad that you don't want him to be your shortstop? Like that's a big thing that could happen. Like that could happen. Trevor Story has not been good.
But what does this have? But this is such a reach for Devers playing third. We're talking about like maybe Story's so bad, and then like what about the moving parts? I just feel like it could be so simple if two things happen: either play Bregman at second base or Devers. Just listen to your manager. He's trying to do what's best for the team. Okay, question for you guys: let's say hypothetically, Gordo, what you said happens, and Cora keeps Devers at third because he wants to keep him happy. And let's say that's like he says that to the media. I have two questions. One,
don't say that to the media.
They're gonna find out. They're gonna ask why is he playing third? It's best for the team. How? Well, keeps him happy. Anyway, what do we think the reaction from the media and the fans would be if Devers played third base because they want to keep him happy?
You can't let that get out there. Like I do think, and you see it in other sports, like it's part of the equation in all sports is keeping your stars happy. For whatever reason in baseball, it feels like it's a lesser part of the equation, but keeping your clubhouse happy, especially at the top. Like, I'm sorry, it's a factor.
Okay, counter to that, keeping the clubhouse happy, I agree with. Don't you think the clubhouse would be pissed if you're playing a guy at a position where he's not helping the team as much as he could be? Just to keep him happy, I feel like that would piss everyone else off.
You got to play both sides of the fiddle because, like, yeah, maybe it upsets them, but also, like, an upset Raffy's going to upset people.
The other thing here is Craig said it. It is his job to put the best team on the field that he possibly can. That happens with Alex Bregman at third base, and I don't think that's much of a debate.
Well, okay, let's talk about that then, Pat. I agree. The best defensive team you can put on the field is with Alex Bregman at third base and Christian Campbell at second base and Duran in left and Sadon in center and Willier in right. You've got a really good defensive team if you have that alignment. Offensively, I think you're better if Bregman's at second and Devers is at third. It allows you to get Yoshida in the lineup at DH and not have to play him in left field anytime he wants to play. You're a better offensive team with Masa Yoshida in the lineup over Sadon Rafaela.
Yeah, this is a no-brainer. But Gordo, this is like the conversation we had the other day. Cora has the luxury of tailoring the lineup to like the matchups and who's pitching for. Like if Garrett Crochet is pitching, I'm not super concerned about the defense. His bread and butter is striking 13 guys out over 9 innings. I'm not as much concerned. If Cutter Crawford's pitching, I'd like Sadon in center field because he gives up a lot of fly balls. You're going to need good defense out there. It's not that black and white is what I'm trying to say.
I'm going to challenge the point that Gordo just made, that the better offensive lineup is with Bregman at second.
Let's hear it.
Because if Raffy's DHing, that gets Yoshida out of the lineup. You have Bregman at third, Campbell at second, and then you still have the three outfield spots. I would much rather have the three outfield spots in Raffy and Campbell than Yoshida hit.
But you'd have Rafaela with Devers at third. You would have Rafaela in center, correct, Gordo? Is that what you were saying?
And if I have Devers at third, I would have Bregman at second. I would play Campbell in left, and I would have Duran in center.
Yes.
And Sadon sits.
But okay,
Pat does make a good point though, because if Bregman is at third, Devers is DHing.
Campbell's at second, and you keep the outfield.
Campbell's at second. You could keep the outfield, or you could play Yoshida in left and Duran in center and sit Sadon. So you'd either be playing the offensive lineup with the same offensive lineup, but you're sacrificing outfield defense in the name of infield defense to get Bregman and Campbell both in the infield, but this puts Yoshida in left. Or you could just go the all defense team, have Sadon in center, Duran in left. I mean, if you're going that route with the infield, you might as well just have
This is the beauty of Bregman. Like, it's so many options. Though,
because they say they're not going to move him. Like, it should be the beauty of Bregman.
They said Devers was going to be a third baseman forever. Come on. We've learned to take these things with a grain of salt at this point. I mean,
that's fair.
That's Cora's way of managing. He moves guys around. Last question. If this were to happen, where Devers stays at third to keep him happy, is he officially a diva? We put that label on him?
No. Get out of here. Raffy has never been a diva in his life.
Like, I don't think he's a diva.
Do you even hear the way he says no? Like, when Cotillo asked him to elaborate on his no, he goes, I played third base.
Dude, that's what I was thinking. Like, when I watched the video, my initial reaction was like, oh, he's taking this lightly. It's like tongue-in-cheek almost. But now, the outrage, maybe I'm wrapped up in it too much. But, like, I don't know. I can't see Raffy being a diva. Like, that's something a diva would do, what we described. But that's so not Raffy. That's why this whole thing is weird. He seems like a amicable guy, fun to be. He makes like Pokemon sounds when he comes out of the dugout.
He does.
Bizarre.
All right. I've got a couple of questions and I want to get through these kind of quickly because I do want to talk about the whole Dylan Cease thing. So first, the question about him getting traded, the question that Cotillo asked him about if he would request a trade if he were moved off of third base. Was that a fair question to be asked?
Of course. Why would it not be? Everyone,
I don't know. I'm seeing a lot of people annoyed at him, and I just want to, on the record, all three of us are okay with that question being asked.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why would you not ask it? It's a story.
And Chris's his answer, job, you know.
I'll go one further. I'm okay with the weight question. I'm okay with it.
It's relevant to the conversation. It's Look, dude, every time we're on WEEI and we have like Breslow, for example, on, everyone's like, you didn't ask him the tough questions. Why didn't you ask him the tough question? And here we are with the media asking tough questions. And now it's like, that was unfair. Why would you ask that? Like, what do you want?
And not for nothing, his answer literally, he did not say no. So like, yeah, that's a significant, the lack of no made that answer, in my opinion, very noteworthy. Like he's obviously not going to say yes. But right. Think about it like this. If someone in the Celtics media asked Jason Tatum, hey, Jason, are you thinking about requesting a trade? He'd be like, what? Of course not.
Yeah.
Right? So the fact that Devers didn't do that, yeah, that's significant. So yeah, props to Cotillo for asking the question and getting an answer that adds something to the story.
Agreed. And this is Cotillo's job. It's not to make stories. It's to uncover stories. And you have to ask questions to do that. And whether he gets a good answer or not, it's part of the job. Okay, and this is why it frustrates me. Like I've said, this was my major in college. Like the journalism stuff, it's not easy. And I think people look at it sometimes and they're like, oh, why don't you just ask him this? It's so simple. It's like, it's so hard to come up with these good questions. And then you have someone like Cotillo, and I think Smitty had a question too, or McAdam, like the Mass Live guys, they ask a question, it's a tough question, and they get crap for it. And I'm like, I'm not kidding. I benefit zero from defending those guys, but I was like pissed when I saw that. Like, how could you complain about asking not enough tough questions and then you get the tough question and now it's a problem? Like, spare me. People just want to complain.
All right. Next question for me. Devers seemed, especially at the end of the media availability, maybe the back half of it, he seemed to be agitated. Was he agitated because he's being told by the Red Sox, hey, we might want to move you off third base? Or is he agitated that they asked over and over and over again that he was being moved off third base? Because I think it's a little bit of both, but where do you lean more? Because to me, I thought he took it like in a happy-go-lucky way. That's how he was responding to the question. I think he understands and he's known that this was going to be coming. Obviously, he doesn't want to move. But I think the agitation came from being asked the same question over and over again, which again is the media's job, and they needed to keep doing it the way they did it to get the story. So I'm not saying the media shouldn't have done it, but obviously Devers getting that question over and over again naturally was going to upset him. I lean towards the media thing.
I think he just kind of doesn't like doing media. And also on top of that, it got a little redundant towards the end with the third base question. So I think it's as simple as he doesn't really enjoy speaking to the media, which it's fine.
Yeah. And I think the other thing too is that what Sammy just said, and then you also compound that with he answered the same question in 20 different iterations for like 15 minutes. Like, there wasn't much other than, are you going to do this? Well, what if, would you, it gets, it's redundant and it's probably annoying by the end of it. And I just, I get it. I'm not, it would be weird if he wasn't agitated.
And this is what I mean about like reporters trying to uncover stories. Like it sounds redundant to us and it was kind of redundant. But if you listen back to the wording of the way that he was asked those questions, you had media members from a variety of outlets asking the same question, but in a different way. And sometimes when you do that, you get a different answer. So I don't think anyone did anything wrong. And I understand why.
And it's also expanding too. It's like, it's like, would you move off third? No. Well, would, if they asked you, would you refuse? And then it's, if they demanded it, would you request those? Would you request a trade? Those are three different questions. So
you have to be prepared.
Props to them for doing it.
There was one time when I was kind of new to doing like journalism stuff. And I got an interview with a really big UFC fighter and I thought I was prepared with questions and I had probably like 10 questions prepared, which I felt was more than enough. And the first answer the guy gave me was like one word. And so I start to panic and I'm literally sweating now because this guy's terrifying looking. And I'm like, okay, question two, nothing. So it was not a good interview that I did. Short, long way of me saying, I have a lot of respect for these guys who are able to come up with these good questions and get these answers from these athletes on questions they maybe don't want to talk about. Because trust me, from experience, it's not easy. And sometimes you fuck it up. I have fucked it up. It's really uncomfortable. So that's why sometimes I get defensive when I see the media getting like crap from fans. It's a hard job. It's an underrated, difficult job.
All right, last question before we get off this topic. If you're the Red Sox, we've talked about all of the factors involved here. We've hashed it all out. If you're the Red Sox, are you playing Devers at third or are you DHing him and Bregman's your third baseman?
Okay, let's pretend that Yoshida's healthy. If Yoshida was healthy, the lineup I would use the most would be Bregman at second because I think that the Red Sox are at their best when they are bludgeoning other teams with offense. That is, I'd say the majority of the World Series teams were kind of like that. Actually, probably all of them. You just bludgeon the other team with offense. And if your pitching is solid, you are going to win most of the time. So I would go with that. And on select occasions, maybe you have a guy who doesn't get a ton of strikeouts. Maybe you go with Sedan in center, get a little bit of a better defensive lineup out there. But yeah, most of the time I'd put Bregman at second. I think he'll be fine there.
Pat?
I think I would go Bregman at second until, you know, into the summer. I think once Roman and Campbell get into the mix, your hand's forced. You got to move Rafi to DH. To start, Rafi at third, Bregman at second.
Wouldn't you have more flexibility if you had DH open to like rotate the outfielders with in regards to Roman? Because if Rafi's at third, that means you have three outfield spots for Duran, Abreu, Sedan, Roman. Ref Snyder's got to get in there. So that's
Campbell. Bregman's a second.
But if Devers is at DH, Campbell would be
at
second.
Oh, at DH. Yeah, sorry. Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not an easy question. To me, I would play Bregman at second. And I would, if it were me making the decisions, I would be open to moving Bregman around and I would have... Against right-handed pitching, I would have Bregman at second, Devers at third, Yoshida's your DH. And against left-handed pitching, I would have Romy Gonzalez play second, I'd have Bregman play third, and I'd have Devers DH, and Yoshida would not play against left-handed pitching. That's how I would do it. If they're not going to move Bregman around, if they're insistent on having him play one position, to me, it would be second base. Interesting to hear both of you guys open to the second base thing, because I think if you listen to the conversation, most of the arguments you guys give, and I know a lot of it is wanting Devers to do what's best for the team, but I feel like if you listen to the conversation and cut that last part out, it would have sounded like you guys wanted Devers at DH and Bregman at third.
Well, this is also under the assumption that, you know, they're not going to move him around. If they're not moving him around, it's third base. I think they're going to be forced to move him around.
They probably are, aren't they? I know they. Yeah. I think Sammy made a good point. Like, they're going to say what they're going to say. We'll see. It'll be interesting, though. Like, we'll see how much work Bregman gets at second base. Like, the media's there. They see how much work. Like, today he worked at third base. We'll see, in the next 2 weeks.
Gordo, that is funny because based on the conversation, if you didn't hear what we just said, you would be like, these guys both want Bregman at third and Gordo wants him at second. But no, we all want Bregman at second. We all want the big offensive lineup. I just don't like how Rafi handled this all today. It's separate from what I think they should do. I just want him to be open. I want him to do the, like, Pedroia, always doing what's best for the team. Pedroia was the best with that. So,
yeah. All right.
And again, before we end this, we all love Rafi. We're all big Rafael Devers fans. We hate to talk about the weight thing. I hate that I even have to bring it up, but I felt like I'd be doing everyone a disservice if I didn't mention it. So, anyway, we love you, Rafi. Sorry.
Shout out, Rafi. I hope you, I hope by June you're 260 pounds and have 30 homers. Let's go. all right.
You believe Sandoval was 268? 5'10", 268? I looked it up before the show, like, to see if it was close. Woof.
All right. We naturally talked a ton about the Devers thing. We do have to get into this Dylan Cease thing. Reports from Sean McAdam on Sunday that the Red Sunday. Sox have been in touch about Dylan Cease, said it was more due diligence, and then Brad Foe Monday saying that it's seen as a long shot. But I do want to get your guys' takes and give mine as well about the merits of a Dylan Cease trade. Obviously, the Red Sox have six starting pitchers at the moment. Cutter Crawford has a knee issue. Bayo has, I believe it was a shoulder issue, but he's already back and throwing, so I don't think that that's too much of a concern. I definitely think Cutter is the more concerning case, but would you trade for Dylan Cease? Yes or no? And let's say to get him, you had to include one of Willier Abreu or Cutter Crawford. And in Bradford's report, he said Willier Abreu is not a guy the Red Sox are going to trade for Cease, but would you do it? We talked about the logjam in the outfield. We talk about the six starting pitchers, and if you trade Cutter for Cease, you're still going to have six starting pitchers. Would you do it?
So normally I'd say no. But there's an interesting thing I'm looking at that's happening next winter. And I don't know if you guys have looked at the 2026 free agent class for starting pitchers, but it's borderline historically loaded. And I know this will change. Guys will come off the board, whatever. Listen to this group of names. And then I will explain why I'm naming all these guys. This is who's a free agent next year. Shane Bieber, Jack Flaherty, Walker Buehler, maybe, Eduardo Rodriguez, Zach Gallen, Ranger Suarez, Michael King, Framber Valdez, Shota Imanaga has a mutual option, Kodai Senga has an opt-out, Brandon Woodruff, Seth Lugo has a player option, Zach Eflin, and then there's other guys like Scherzer, Verlander, the older guys. There's a handful of middle-of-the-rotation guys. Point being, there is a massive wealth of free agent pitchers, which means economics 101, there's a wealth of something in the market. Saturated, the prices will probably either be stagnant or go down a little bit. Now, it's weird with baseball because it seems like prices go up every year, but it's more like I don't think Cease is going to be completely closed off to an extension if you were to acquire him. And if you're not aware, Cease is on an expiring deal. That's part of why, like, trading Willier Abreu for Dylan Cease, it sounds like, yeah, no brainer, but it's 4 years of Willier for 1 year.
Five.
Of Cease.
Five years, excuse me.
And four for Cutter. Four for Cutter, five for Willier. So it's a lot of control for a very little bit of control. Obviously, Cease, the better player. But if I'm the Red Sox, I have zero interest in acquiring Dylan Cease unless I plan on extending him. And I think the odds of him being extended this year are higher than they would normally be because of that free agent class, because the prices are not going to be as extravagant as they were like this year. It's not going to be as much of an increase. He'll still get paid beautifully by the Red Sox or whoever pays him. I just think he'd be at least open to discussing an extension in season or right after the season. That's why I'm a little more open to it than I normally would.
I get the market, but he's a Boris guy. Boris guys have almost never signed extensions, and certainly not the year before free agency. That never happens.
Probably not, but things change. You never know. If the Red Sox like speak to him and they get a feel like they're like, okay, this guy might be open to it, then go for it. So,
but you can't speak to him until you trade for him.
Yeah, no, I know, but things happen.
Pat, what would you do? Would you trade for him or not?
No, I wouldn't. And not because Cease is a phenomenal pitcher. It's not that I do not want Dylan Cease on my favorite.
Cease is a top what pitcher in baseball? What do you think, Pat? Top what? 15? 10?
No, not 10. I would say
15, 20.
15 to 18, yeah.
Border, he's the type of guy that's like, he's not an ace, but he's like a number 1B. Like he's a, he's number one-ish kind of guy. But yeah, Pat, go
on. He's not as good as Crochet, like we think Crochet is, but he's better than Tanner Houck. That's kind of where you're looking at. But no, I wouldn't. And it, I think it just comes down to, it's AJ Preller. He's going to want, you know, a decent return for a rental, which, I mean, understandably so. We were just talking about how great Dylan Cease is. That being said, you already have a very legit, like, logjam. Like, it's not like you have, like, three very good starters and three, like, so-so starters. You're trying to figure out, you know, who's going to be that fifth guy. You have a very good five-man rotation and a very, very good sixth starter already rostered on the team. And that is not including Patrick Sandoval, who's going to be back midseason. So if you bring in Cease, there would have to be a whole dominoes of moves, like a whole domino effect of moves to make that roster-wise make sense. And to me, I just don't see how you do that right now. Next year, controlled for the rotation, you have Crochet, Houck, Bayo, Cutter, and Sandoval. Next year, when all these guys are free agents, sure, go for it. Bring in
Dylan pay them. Pay them.
Exactly. But right now, this very point in time, I just don't see how it, literally how it fits, which is crazy to say about Dylan Cease.
Make it fit. Dylan, no, I get what you're saying, guys. I'm not really firm on either side of the argument. Gordo, can I respond to the thing you said about Scott Boras? I agree with you. You're totally right that his guys don't always sign extensions. It's very unlikely. But a few recent examples, Carlos Gonzalez did in 2011, Elvis Andrews in 2013, Steven Strasburg 2016, Altuve in 2018, and of course, Xander 2019. So it is unlikely. That does have to be taken into account. But
those are decade-old extensions, and how many of them were the year before free agency?
No, I mean, one of them was a decade old. The other ones were more recent.
But how many of those were a year before free agency?
Oh, I'm not sure.
It can't be many. Xander was, I don't know. Look that up. I'll give you my take, because I wouldn't do this. I don't even understand why it's a discussion, to be honest with you. And it has nothing to do with the fact that, like, Willier Abreu and Cutter Crawford, I get, are surpluses.
A year. Xander was a year away.
Xander was a year?
Xander was a year away. I remember being stunned. Red Sox locked up Bogarts. He was only 26 at the time, and a year away. Yeah. I'm not saying you're wrong. You're absolutely right. It's a Boras guy. Yeah. And this crazy pitching market free agency class is part of why I think that this might be one of those circumstances, but it's not lost on me that this is a gigantic risk to take if the Red Sox were to do it.
And it's just unnecessary. Like, it's unnecessary because, like Pat said, you've got the six starters.
I don't know about that, dude. Unnecessary
Sammy, the thing is, the Red Sox are built to win in 25. I get that. And it's hard to make the argument against getting a guy who would either be your number one or number two starting pitcher. Like, it's hard to, like, make the argument that, hey, let's not make the team better in 2025. But this is, like, you're trying to build something here, something sustainable and a sustainable winner. I know people hate hearing that, but, like, the truth is, like, we're not trying to just get this team to the World Series in 2025. We want this team to be competing for championships for years to come. And I'm not saying you can't trade Willier or Cutter, but if you're going to do it, it sure as hell can't be for a rental. I don't think there's a rental in baseball that I would trade Willier Abreu for right now.
Vlad,
trading for Cease.
You would trade Vlad.
I don't think I would do it.
If you were at the table and they were like, Gordo, hit this green button. If you hit the green button, Vlad is on the Red Sox for Willier alone. You'd be like, I got to do it.
My heart might say it. My heart might do that. My head says no. It feels short-sighted, and it's like, it's fun to have, like, big name starters throwing every day, but, like, if you're trading Willier or Cutter, like, that has to be in like a Jared Jones package. Like, I know it's going to take a lot more, but if you're trading controllable guys, controllable established big leaguers, you got to be getting controllable established big leaguers. I'm not trading. Willier Abreu was an above average major league player last year, and you're talking about trading him for a rental. Like,
but it's Dylan Cease. It's like a stud rental.
You don't need a starter. Like, what is your rotation if Dylan Cease comes in and Cutter leaves?
My rotation would be Cease, Houck, Crochet, whatever order you want, Bayo, Giolito.
So you just signed a Buehler for $20 million. It's not even in your rotation.
Buehler. Sorry, not Giolito. Bueller.
And so then now Giolito's making 20-something million. He's not in the rotation. Like, it doesn't make any sense.
We got Dylan Cease. It's fine. We got Dylan Cease.
So why are you trading legitimate above-average big league players
to get Dylan Cease?
To then kick Lucas Giolito out of your rotation?
Well, what if Cease is 10 times better? I know, no. It's a weird fit. I get it. But we're talking about six-man rotation. What if there's a six-man rotation? We talk injury's going to happen. Cutter's already hurt. You what?
I don't like six-man rotation the full season either. Spots, yes. But, Sammy, the easy decision for me is you have so many guys where it's like you don't know what you're going to get from Giolito. You don't know what you're going to get from Bueller. Like, see what these guys give you, and if it's not – like, this team is good enough where there is – it is so unlikely that midseason comes around and they're out of it and selling at the deadline.
Yeah, yeah.
So, if you need to make a move at the deadline, you can.
But then prices go up. If you're okay with that, then fine.
Well, there's a big price.
What?
Well, you're saying it'll go up.
I'm saying prices go up at the deadline because all the teams who are selling have all the leverage, especially with the new playoff format when there's way less sellers. I'd be okay with that. I'm not saying I don't like that. I'd be okay with it, but that's the issue with it. By the way, more on this free agent topic, Kyle Tucker and Vlad Guerrero Jr., also free agents. Not pitchers, of course, but that just saturates the market anymore. This is going to be a
monstrous class.
So we think, like, we'll see if shit gets extended, but.
And if guys suck. Guys can suck,
think,
too.
Yeah.
Like, if Bo Bichette
I just think
sucks.
Guys are going to be, in general, I think guys will be a little more open to extensions, especially if they're plugging holes.
Shut up, Sammy.
And on that note, no. Hector Gomez just had a really good tweet. We'll use this as our kind of collective, enough said, more of a thinking point. To Rafael Devers. Cal Ripken moved from shortstop to third base. Same thing happened with Alex Rodriguez and Tony Fernandez. Vlad Guerrero Jr. moved from third base to first base. George Bell won an MVP as an outfielder, then was moved to DH. Fernando Tatis was extended as a shortstop and immediately moved to right field and became the best defensive right fielder in baseball. And then you have guys like Judge who moved from right field to center field. There's so much evidence of guys moving to make for a better team. And I think that's just thought-provoking. Mm-hmm. I'll leave it at that. Mm-hmm.
Albert Pujols, too. Did you mention Pujols? I think Pujols moved from third to left to first.
Oh, let's not forget the best player of our generation just moved from center field to right field today, Mike Trout.
How about Mookie? Mookie's playing shortstop now.
Yeah.
He went from a second base to center field to shortstop, back to right field, back to shortstop. Like, I don't want to rip on Raffy, but you got to be a little more chill, Raffy. Be more chill. By the way, I know we're not doing enough said, but I wanted to give you guys an opportunity to dunk on me because you like to call me old. Now I'm fat, too. I went to the suit store, Men's Warehouse. I got to get a suit. I'm in a bachelor party. I went up two sizes. So Ooh. Not only am I old, Ooh. I'm also fat now. So
that's that. That's the media dining and gummy bears. That's shit talking.
Funny?
Yeah.
When I walked in, this guy was in front of me. Had to have been 6'8" or 6'9" and like big. And I'm thinking like, what size is this guy? I'm fitting into a slim size. Nope. I'm fat. Mm-mm. So I'm fat now. You guys can roast me for it. But I will be getting back into shape. I'll be running shortly. I hope.
We're moving you off third base.
Yeah.
Come on. I take a lot of.
Oh my god.
This is why I'm allowed to bring up Devers' weight because I'm dunking on myself too. Fat self.
You can dish it if you can take it. That's the rule. You're allowed to dish it, but you have to take it. If you don't dish it, you don't have to take it.
And boy, do
if
we
you
love
dish. You got to take it. Shut up. Don't even say it. All right, we got to wrap, but I am also going to use my Nuff Said, so I guess we're all just doing Nuff Said. Here's to hoping that by the time you listen to this, Vlad Guerrero Jr. has not signed an extension, because supposedly if that's the case, then he is not getting extended. Hopefully that didn't happen before this thing dropped. And that'll do it for episode 179 of Playtest. Appreciate you guys tuning into this one, talking a lot of Rafael Devers and Alex Bregman and Dylan Cease and all this good stuff. It's a great time to be a Red Sox fan and listening to Play Testies. So tell all your friends about it. All your friends who want to get back into the Red Sox this year because they're such a good team. Tell them about Play Testie. Subscribe the Odyssey app, Spotify, Apple. Subscribe everywhere you listen. Rate 5 stars. Leave a comment. Tell us what you'd do with Devers, where you'd play him. Same thing on YouTube. Leave a comment there. We've got all the Play Testy videos on the WEEI channel in the Play Testy playlist. So subscribe to WEEI. hit the thumbs up on all of our videos in the playlist, and find us on the socials at PlayTessie on both Twitter and Instagram. So for Sammy, who's up two sizes, for Pat, who's not up two sizes and his traps have never looked bigger, it's Gordo here. Oh, and Joe producing in the back. It is Gordo here for PlayTessie. Thanks for tuning into this one. Peace.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework. Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Signature Farms chicken, split breasts, drumsticks, or thighs, buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Or a wheat variety bread, 24-ounce selected varieties, buy one, get one for free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And Progresso soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties, buy two, get three free of equal or lesser value when you buy five. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.